No, I can't.
Yeah, I know what
kind of one. It's like a B or something.
It's not Fairchild.
No, no, that's Spokane.
Yeah, actually, I like getting out to
the. All right. The May 25th, 2017 hearing for the House Committee on Veterans Emergency Preparedness is now in session. On Thursdays, which is especially timely today because of both what's on the calendar as well as the ceremony that many of us were just returning from about a mobilization of another National Guard unit going to fight, we take a little bit of time to remember why we're here and what our job is. And so today, I want to talk about a young man who died not in combat but had served in two tours and kind of touched us a little bit. On Sunday, May 14th, 2017, 36-year-old Army Sergeant Terrence Hinton of Grand Rapids, Michigan, died during a rollover crash while on duty in Ohio or on Oahu, Hawaii. He was assigned to the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division. He had a wife and two children. An Army spokesman indicated that a military tractor-trailer truck driven by a 20-year-old soldier was towing heavy equipment to a dock when it went out of control on a turn, struck a guardrail, and then overturned into a culvert. Sergeant Hinton was a front seat passenger in the truck that overturned. Hinton served as a motor transport operator. He enlisted in the Army in 2009 and previously served at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. He moved to Hawaii in 2016. He deployed twice, once to Afghanistan in 2010 and Kuwait in 2014, a total of 21 months. People say they're investigating the possibility of negligent homicide in relation to the crash. They're determining whether the fellow soldier who was driving the truck ran a stop sign. Major General Christopher Cavoli, commander of the 25th Infantry Division, stated, "We offer our deepest condolences to Sergeant Hinton's family and friends, and we'll keep them in our thoughts and prayers. It is a tragedy and sad day when we lose one of our soldiers." In war and in operations, even in preparing for war, accidents occur, and unfortunately, casualties occur. And sometimes when we focus on Memorial Day that's upcoming, we focus only on the folks that died in combat, but yet many members of the military, even overseas, supporting the operations directly, are not technically in combat when they perish, but their sacrifice is no less. And we try to remember that our job is to make sure that for the families left behind, the services are here, the necessary steps are taken to remember the loss, and that for those that come home and need help, we're here to help them. So thank you again, committee, for being here today. It is going to be a short meeting, but a very important meeting. We're going to open a public hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution 20. I invite a representative, actually a family and Representative Barnhart up. Mr. Volk wants to explain. Okay. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Barnhart. I'm the state representative from House District 11, and we're here today to present Senate Concurrent Resolution 20, which deals with the life and sacrifice of Sergeant Brennan Gibson. With me today are his parents, John and Linda Gibson. Sergeant Gibson was born in Van Nuys, California on December 27, 1979, the youngest of six children. When he was six, his family moved to Springfield, Oregon, where he attended Walterville Elementary, Thurston Middle School, and Thurston High School, graduated in 1997. While attending Oregon State University, he studied art with an emphasis in graphic design, a member of Theta Chi fraternity, and graduated with a bachelor's degree in 2003. He met his wife, Karina, in college, whom he married in July 2004. The same month, Sergeant Gibson enlisted in the United States Army and in May 2005 was assigned to C Company, 3rd Battalion, 509th Infantry Airborne, 4th Brigade Combat Team of the 25th Infantry Division based at Fort Richardson in Alaska. On October 3rd, 2006, 3 days before he was set to deploy to Iraq, his son, Caden, was born. Sergeant Gibson was killed on December 10, 2006, when an improvised explosive device was detonated near the Humvee that he was riding in while on a late-night combat patrol in Baghdad in Iraq. He was buried at Willamette National Cemetery on what would have been his 27th birthday. Sergeant Gibson was known for kindness, laugh, humor, and talent for drawing. Before being deployed, he was asked if he was concerned about going to Iraq, and he answered that it didn't matter. It was what he needed to do. Colleagues, I appreciate the hearing today and ask you to support the life and sacrifice of Sergeant Gibson by adopting and sending with the due pass recommendation Senate Concurrent Resolution 20. And I think his parents had some additional comments that they'd like to make.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Mr. and Mrs. Gibson?
Thank you so much. Thanks.
If you could state for the record who you are and where you're from, and then anything you'd like to share, we'd appreciate it.
Linda Gibson, and I'm from Eugene, Oregon.
Yes, ma'am.
And as I told the Senate when we went to their hearing, that I wish that every fallen soldier could have a sign. But I really like to talk about Brennan's dedication to his troops and to his the young men that served with him. The night that he went out on the mission, he had been sick several weeks prior, and his commanding officer had told him that. He had said, "Brennan, you don't have to go tonight because you've been sick." And Brennan said, "No, I'm going to go if my guys are going." And that was the mission that took his life. He was a really a born leader.
Thank you. I'm John Gibson. I live in Eugene, and I just like to, I would end up saying the same thing. Thank you, gentlemen, for hearing our request to have a sign put up in with his name, and just like to say thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, comments for the family? All right. Well, did you want to close with any?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate hearing the resolution, and ask you to send it on to the House for a vote.
I think we're going to take care of that in just about a minute and a half.
Thank
but
you.
Before thank we close you. The public hearing, I want to say thank you for coming forward. And is Brandon's name on the Iraq
yes,
Afghanistan wall?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Wanted to make sure that also was taken care of, because the fellow that can take care of it's in the back of the room, so we could make that happen. Going to close the public hearing on SCR 20. I'm going to open the work session on SCR 20.
Mr. Chair, I move SCR 20 to the floor with the be adopt recommendation.
Representative Esquivel has moved SCR 20 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there a discussion? Seeing no discussion, Sky, please call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Excused.
Representative Post.
Excused.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. And I would like Representative Barnhart, if he would be so willing, to carry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And the Gibson family, we have no magic words, but we will make sure that the sign gets taken care of. And truly appreciate your family sacrifice. We're going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 476. Mr. Vole.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. Senate Bill 476 Alpha directs the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee to recommend whether the Legislative Assembly should add disabled veterans to the definition of preferred worker so that employers may receive the same benefits for hiring them as are available for hiring permanently disabled injured workers through the Reemployment Assistant Program. Requires recommendation by February 1st, 2018, sunsets December 31st, 2018, takes effect 91st day after signed die. There is no fiscal impact. It has no revenue impact. A little bit more by way of background, the Department of Consumer and Business Services administers a return to work program in Oregon, including the Reemployment Assistant Program. The Reemployment Assistant Program includes two major programs and several smaller programs. It includes the Employer at Injury Program and the Preferred Worker Program, the PWP. The PWP provides financial incentives to employers that hire preferred workers. Workers that are permanently disabled due to a compensable on-the-job injury or occupational disease who are unable to return to regular work. If an injured worker is hired as a preferred worker and has a new injury during the first 3 years of reemployment, the reemployment assistance program pays for the claim, including the administrative costs. In addition, the PWP provides wage subsidies, direct employment purchases, and pays for worksite modifications. Senate Bill 476 Alpha requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee to advise the Legislative Assembly by February 1, 2018, whether to add disabled veterans to the definition of preferred worker for purposes of reemployment assistance programs so that employers would receive the same benefits for hiring them as they would receive for hiring a permanently disabled injured worker.
All right, and there's nobody signed up in support, but I'm going to take liberty because that's what I do. The good director of Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And if you would like to bring Bill with him, that is fine with me. It's up to him. If you want. Nobody signed up, so we're kind of wanting to make sure. And just to preface this with, right now I think the inclination of the committee and the vice chair is to go ahead and move the bill because it's permissive, but I want to make sure this isn't going to give you one more task and not enough support to do it. So,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the director of Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I don't think it's there's questions of whether we would actually be able to implement such a program through the preferred worker program, but we are happy to review it and study it and report back. That is not an undue burden on our team.
Okay. Chair Evans, Vice Chair, for the record, Bill Cluding, Carpenters Industrial Council, Oregon Air National Guard, 1960-1963. I see this. The feds are not helping us with our veterans. We have a problem in this state. I just sat through an hour and a half press conference at noon or 1 o'clock, and everybody should have to sit through that. Mental health is a critical problem with our veterans. A veteran that has a chance at a job, a good job, can keep his mind active, keep his mind away from the shadows that's hurting him, giving some pride. Give his family something to look forward to. Dad's coming home from work. We need to help these veterans. That one sentence, because of permanent disability, worker status, disabled veterans. You know, I've worked with people, workers that have been injured on the job, and the state bends over to get them back on their feet, get them back into a job. They'll find a job for them. Why can't we do that with our veterans? I'm totally for this. Okay. Whether I don't think we need an advisory group. The state ought to just wake up and realize, hey, let's help these people. They helped us. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, the bill before us, I think the reason for the group or the study is because the way in which we currently have civilian worker programs, especially injured worker programs, draws upon funds and has connections to employers that, as I understand, currently the United States government doesn't put into. So we would have to figure out how to find credits, how to be able to balance that out, and if it would work, or if there may be a separate system for a state veterans rehabilitation. So, but I think the need for a study is clearly expressed. It seems like it's not going to be too much of a burden. Are there any questions from the committee?
Just a statement, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what we all want to get across the street, but we want this committee to show us how to get across the street. That's what it amounts to, Bill. Because if I knew a way to do it, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Right. But the DCBS is a fee-based as opposed to general fund environment, so there are different rules.
If I may say so, sir.
Go ahead.
The last things our veterans want, the last things our disabled veterans want is a handout. Mm-hmm. They want a hand up.
Yep.
And this is a hand up bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Okay. Any other? Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that news conference today was, you know, I was unable to attend because I was in Ways and Means, but it was very startling to have that young lady talk about her brother in my office today, and it's just very, very sad. But see, I go back to the VA system itself, and this is the example of a single payer system that doesn't work, because it never has really worked well. And we're going to rely upon a system like that, we're heading for trouble. We need to revamp that system some way with the federal government in order to make it efficient and make sure that we take care of these people. Because if we're going to send them in harm's way, then it's our responsibility to take care of them. There's no doubt about that. But we're not doing that. So I agree with you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I would second, again, both Representative Esquivel and Bill. A lot of challenges out of that big partner of the federal VA. And it's not necessarily the state's job to backfill any responsibilities, but there is that state and local hook. And in advance of this Memorial Day weekend, this session is shaping up to be one of the most impactful at the state and local level for us stepping up for veterans and their families. And it's because of the leadership of this committee, not just this year, but in all of the years prior. It is finally gelling. I believe we're going to have some historic investments that we can all be proud about bipartisanly at that state and local level.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I'm going to, you guys are cleared hot to go in the back. Andy, since you're here, did you want to comment? You don't have to, but if you wanted to, we have so many people in the room, we want to make sure and share the love. All right.
Pick a number and wait their turn.
That's right. We're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill, whatever the heck it is, 476A.
Want to just move it, Bill?
Sure. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill.
I would just say that the ayes and the vote in the Senate was 30 ayes.
Mr. Volk, go ahead and say that.
30 ayes in the Senate.
And this does not require going to Ways and Means. This goes straight to the floor. Is that correct?
It's not Chairman Evans.
No.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
Think there's
no subsequent referral.
I just wanted to hear it for the record.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 476A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves Senate Bill 476A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, Skye, please call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Excused.
Representative Although, Post.
He's still excused.
Vice Chair Boone.
She's still excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Evans is an aye. Motion passes. Representative Parrish is going to carry this bill. Just for the good of the committee, a couple of things I wanted to emphasize today that I think are relevant for our conversation for next week, and then we will be out in 5 minutes, I promise. AOC, Andy Smith, published something today that I think is worth our attention. If I understand it correctly, federal veterans benefits for Oregon are up $111 million in just 2016. Now, again, so people understand how that works, it isn't a direct payment from the feds to Oregon. It's the hard work of county veteran service officers, state veteran service officers working on appeals, veteran service organizations, vet centers, volunteer groups, church groups, moms, dads, everybody working together. But the importance here is that it actually is starting to work. The historic investment side is one side of the equation. And again, for our folks that are going to be fighting for our priorities in Ways and Means, this isn't rocket science, thank God, but the more investment we put into veterans outreach, we can prove and demonstrate that money comes back many, many fold. So I think today, as we go into Memorial Day, I'm very proud of the work that's being done. We have a lot more work to do in the next month, so we want to make sure that success does not slip out of our hands and defeat, snatch from the jaws of victory, but we need to continue to work. Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think that to see this committee work that's been going on for quite some time, to see it start to come to fruition is pretty exciting, actually, because, you know, it was kind of a Speaker Minnis started this back in 2005 or 2003, mm-hmm. if you remember what it was, and it kind of plugged along and did some things, but it became more and more of a light in the darkness for veterans, and this committee's done some great work, and thank you, Mr. Chair, and everyone on this committee, because it's done some great work.
Appreciate that. Yep. Mr. Volk, why don't you read what we have planned for next week, and then we'll close her down.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. It's coming down to the wire here. Mm-hmm. For Tuesday, May 30th, we have three bills on the agenda. 19A that was originally on for today that we moved to Tuesday. It's recognizes three different people.
Was that because of the family? Is that
the family, correct. Yeah, the family is going to attend next Tuesday. Senate Bill 1000A and Senate Bill 832A for the following Thursday. That's the absolute end of things for hearing bills. Senate Bill 81, Senate Bill 143A, and that one is, we'll see what happens there. Senate Bill 116A and Senate Bill 129A.
And just for the, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would like to suspend the rules to allow Representative Parrish to vote on SCR 20 and SB 476A.
It's been moved that we suspend the rules to let Representative Parrish vote on SCR 20. I think we have to do one at a time, right?
We're just both in yay to vote.
At SCR 20, is there objection? Representative Parrish, how would you like to vote?
I would vote aye.
Okay. I'm going to open a work session again on Senate Bill 476A because we're suspending the rules, which has been approved. How would you like to vote on that?
I will vote aye again. Thank
good
you.
Good, because you're carrying the bill.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I get for being late to
we're
committee.
To hear I
no.
Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I am both bills.
Yay, team.
Yes. So for next week, just a clarification or bringing clarity. You may have heard, if you've not heard, you need to hear, that there's a little bit of confusion related to Senate Bill 143A. One of the folks involved, we're trying to understand exactly what that person wants out of the bill, because what that person appears to want is how the bill was before that person helped amend the bill. So we have a work group that came up with amendments that I think are actually, by the time it's done, going to get very close to what the original bill was. So on the next Thursday, we're going to have three options. To vote the bill as a study to the floor, which I don't think anybody likes, but that's the bill as it is. And then amendments from which we're going to choose based on the will of the committee. Either way, my intent is to try to move Senate Bill 143, ABC, whatever we fill in. The question, though, is, or the issue is, it will have to, I believe, go back to Ways and Means.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be a fiscal attached to the amendments. So I want to emphasize that, because under the current situation, there may be some confusion that, well, the chair's not sending it to the floor. He's trying to just send it to committee. If we change it back, we have to do
fiscal.
Just wanted to make sure everybody understands that. So there's
they have to adjust their budget as well as they have to adjust
this. So I just want to make sure that we are working to try to find the best solution, the best bicameral, bipartisan solution. At the end of the day, and this is the important point, ODVA doesn't, we think, at least in talking with ODVA, that the authority already exists to run the program absent a bill, but the bill is nice to be able to ensure that funds are placed against it and not lost in the future. So my word on this is, we've all had conversations about Senate Bill 143. The intent of the bill will happen. The question is what mechanism we're going to use. But I am waiting until Thursday, until all the paperwork and some other discussions. I understand Representative Meek and perhaps Representative Escobar are going to go meet with this senator to see if we can find a resolution. But either way, next Thursday we'll have a decision as a group. Okay? Any other questions? Sir?
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. Representative Meek and I will be attending the Military Employer Summit next Friday.
Great.
We've been asked to speak there for about 3 minutes apiece. So
nice.
If you have anything that you would like to make sure that we address
okay.
to the business group, please let us know.
Okay.
So you boys aren't looking for a job, though, are you?
Session's no. almost over. They got to do something.
All right. Well, any other comments, questions for good of the order? I want to get you out by 4:30. I want to be a man of my word. Okay. Thank you very much for your hard work. Have a wonderful
Thank
weekend.
You.
If you're not coming back tomorrow, if you are, I'll see you tomorrow. We're done.
See you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. We're done.
See you tomorrow.